Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. You notice that I have put back in my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, as the booklet that you can receive free just by calling our 1-800 number. I want to encourage you, if you've not read it, to please do read it. And I want to encourage you, if you have read it, consider taking a look at it again and see if there are some other people that might benefit from what I'm going to be talking about. I want to delve a little more into the place of suffering in our lives. And you're going to find it just interspersed over the next week or week and a half, portions of the program. I'll just be referring to this whole aspect of suffering in our lives because it's a big part of our lives. And we try all we can to avoid it, and we try to do all we possibly can to alleviate it or to get it to totally disappear, whether that suffering be physical, whether it be mental, whether it be emotional, whatever form it takes, or watching the suffering of those we love, which is a suffering all in itself. Whatever form that suffering takes, God wants to use that in our lives in a way that will draw us so much closer to Him. And I really do mean that. God doesn't give us suffering to condemn us. He gives us suffering and allows us to have suffering. And if we use it the way He intends, while we have it, not to say we shouldn't try to overcome it in every way we can, but while we have to endure suffering, there are ways in which God wants to reveal Himself to us and draw us close to Himself. And I don't want you to miss any of those opportunities. Many of you have written into me over the last number of years, but especially in the last few years, people speaking to me of the suffering that they're going through, what they're having to endure in their lives, and both how to handle it and how to be healed from it, how to eliminate it. But people have been writing asking me how to handle it, which is part of the reason that I wrote the booklet that's been out for some time, Hope in the Midst of Suffering. So I want to talk about it over a number of programs, just taking a small portion, different days, to speak about it. But I ask you to listen and to apply it to your own life. It's very, very important. Today we have the Feast of the Korean Martyrs. And I have loved this feast for a long time, both because I know brothers and sisters from Korea, and I know much of their story and much of their lives. But this goes back to actually in the 1700s, early 1800s. We have Andrew Kim, who was one of the first to be martyred for the faith in Korea. The opening prayer says, O God, who have been pleased to increase your adopted children in all the world, and who made the blood of the martyrs, Saint Andrew Kim and his companions, a most fruitful seed of Christians, grant that we may be defended by their help and profit always from their example. Here's a form of suffering that we haven't had to endure yet. The suffering of martyrdom. Let's take a look at these readings here and what the Lord wants us to see. Beloved, I am writing you, although I hope to visit you soon, but if I should be delayed, you should know how to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. Undeniably great is the mystery of devotion. Undeniably great is the mystery of devotion. How devoted are you to Christ? In body, mind, and spirit, how devoted are you? Who was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed to the Gentiles, believed in throughout the world, and taken up in glory. This is our God. And we're called to follow in His footsteps. And we want to follow in his footsteps when things are inspiring and cause our hearts to be lifted up and bring us joy and hope and confidence. We all love to be part of that. But it's when the road gets hard, whether that's personal suffering or this is personal suffering too, martyrdom, but are we doing it, allowing it for the sake of the whole church is the question. Am I allowing the suffering in my life to foster the glory of God in those who see me? Am I allowing the suffering in my life to build up the whole body of Christ? Not that I can speak to the whole body, but if I speak to any part of the body, and it's the truth, it will stand firm and it can benefit many people all over the world. I'm going to get very practical and concrete in these programs, but for the moment, what's your vision when you experience suffering? Do you see the part that it plays? Certainly, Jesus did. And did Jesus want to suffer what he did? What did he say on the night before he died? Father, if it be possible, let this chalice pass from me. But not my will, yours be done. Jesus pointed the way for us. Let's take a look at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verses 31 to 35. Jesus said to the crowds, "To what shall I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They are like children who sit in the marketplace and call to one another. We played the flute for you, but you did not dance. We sang a dirge, but you did not weep. For John the Baptist came neither eating food nor drinking wine. And you said he's possessed by a demon." In other words, he's telling them, you misinterpret everything. "The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you said, look, he's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is vindicated by all her children." In other words, you're not seeing right. You're not discerning right. And in a certain sense, God wants to say that to all of us. We don't see clearly many times God's action in our lives, what God is calling us to, and what God is offering us. Many times we don't see it. Now, Andrew here, the first of the Korean martyrs, Andrew saw. He saw clearly. And that's what's so marvelous, that Andrew, he was the first, as I said, Korean native to be ordained to the priesthood and their first martyr. He served but a year before he was arrested for his faith. And do you know what he said in his last sermon? In his last sermon to his people, before he was taken and beheaded, he said, "My eternal life is beginning now." He knew what awaited him. Do you know what awaits you? Do you know what God wants to do for you? Brothers and sisters, these are very, very important questions that we need to ask ourselves. Jesus met opposition after opposition after opposition. You know it. You see the stories. You know what happened to him. You see his enemies, how they falsely accused him again and again and again. I think of that so often, how Jesus persevered and kept trying to speak the truth to them. People didn't want to hear the truth. How many times does it happen that we don't want to hear the truth either? Or we try to gloss over or glide through. We can say, oh, well, that's for holy people. But that's not me. But it is possible for it to be you. God wants to use you to save people. He wants to use you and the gifts he's given you and the personality he's given you and the place in the world that he's placed you in, and the particular job that you have, the particular family life you have, family structure and relatives. God wants to use all that, the difficult and the challenging and that which is blessed, all of it, the good and the difficult, God wants to use first to make you holy and then to use you to bring the holiness of God to other people. You see, you and I, we can so easily think, oh, I'm nothing in the world. Nobody knows me. Nobody knows anything about me. I'm nothing. But God knows you. The courts of heaven know you. The saints who have gone before you know you. And everything that happens in your life, the good and the suffering, God will use for his glory and honor and for your salvation. He will love you into the fullness of life. Even when you're suffering right now, whether it's mental or physical or spiritual, he loves you. He's not punishing you. He's trying to draw you to himself. You might say, well, that's a strange way to do it. But God knows what he's about. And I'll say more about that in the coming programs. But for now, take a look today at Andrew Kim. Take a look. If you can read anything about him online, read it. He was the first martyr of Korea. And now we have such a Christian people coming from Korea. Why? Because one man knew who he was. He knew why he was created. He accepted the truth of Jesus Christ. And God used him. One saint said, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of faith. The blood of martyrs is the seed of faith. And Andrew Kim was one such person. Blessed be God. I'm not saying that you are going to be martyred, but I am saying to live your faith, to be genuinely Catholic, to be genuinely given over to Jesus Christ as his disciple, given over to the Father as his son and or daughter, given over to the Holy Spirit who leads us into union with God? Do you live out of that reality? Because that is who you are. If you are baptized, you are a son or daughter of God. Do you live out of that reality? These are very, very serious questions. And I know in a certain sense I'm repeating myself right now, but I want you to hear, and I want it to go from your head to your heart. I want it in both, the head and the heart. I want you to hear, not only hear the information, but say to yourself, if this is true, what do I need to do? What do I need to change? Brothers and sisters, many times suffering can bring us into union with God. Stay tuned for more tomorrow. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.